This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of The Conjuring, colon Paul, The Devil Made Me Watch It.
I'm not sure Paul's in that title at all. Thank you, Wayne. I'm thrown completely.
Those were right. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Wayne's completely thrown me there. Straight into it then this review of the sequel to the Conjuring franchise, the third one, and then there's a whole bunch of spin-offs which we've covered on the show at various points before. Sadly. The Nun. I think I've covered Annabelle Comes Home.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, anyway, so this one is not directed by James Wan. It is directed by Michael Chavez, who also directed The Curse of La Llorona, one of my worst films of the year.
Yes, I remember you ragging all over that.
It came out. It stars Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga again as the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine, as well as Rory O'Connor, Sarah Catherine Hook and Julian Hillard. In other words, no one else that you recognize from anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It's 112 minutes long. The budget was $39 million, and having just been released in the States, as well as to HBO streaming, HBO Plus being a Warner Brothers film, it's taken about $14 million as of the end of Friday, I believe, maybe into Saturday numbers. Wayne, what's it about?
Well, okay. Once again, there's this family that's being tormented by a demon, which has possessed the young, like, five-year-old boy in the family. And the Warrens are there with a priest. They're trying to exorcise the demon with the family. Something goes wrong in the fucking exorcism. And the entire movie is still, essentially, the Warrens are there to help the family stop the demon, do some investigative shit to try and figure out why this demon is different to the ones they used to. And that is the movie.
Yes. So, I'm a huge fan of The Conjuring 1 and 2.
As am I, frankly.
Which is a big surprise.
Huge!
As well, that number 2 was, I think, on both of our top 10 films of the year it came out.
It was undoubtedly good, even though I hate these movies.
Number 1, I think, predated the podcast. So,
yeah.
Wayne, you saw this one separate to me. I went and saw it opening night here in Australia on my lonesome. It was busy in the cinema, I have to say. There were lots of people there.
Is that so?
Yeah. There were, the film starts with the sort of setup of the story. Yep. The little boy, as you say, being possessed. Mm-hmm. Some creepy moments, I thought, at the start.
I agree. That opening was big.
The audience were responding. Like, there's always someone, right? There was someone who was at least 15 rows back behind me who felt the need to, every time something scary happened, to talk loud enough the entire fucking cinema could hear.
And say, like, in ancient?
Oh, God. It was a woman. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh. Like this. I'm like, what is someone doing to you up there?
Exactly. You know? Let's just shoot you in the leg so you shut up more. I don't know.
I think the opening was good. The prequel before the sort of credit thing happens.
I agree. I agree.
I was on board. I'm like, okay, this is looking good.
A little scared.
Yeah, yes. A good couple of creepy shots, effective moments in there. The contortioning of the kid was actually impressive.
Yes, because it was very unsettling. And to be fair, there's aspects of that in this movie throughout that movie. And I actually thought that's actually quite effective. Like, that is quite effective.
It's so unusual. Really harkening back to The Exorcist and the deleted scene of the spider walk backwards down the stairs that Reagan does.
But this was like fast work.
Yeah. Some of the contortioning was done by a real young woman, and then they CG'd his face on.
Really? On someone actually did that, because it looked like holy crap.
Yeah, obviously, it's augmented by special effects, full credit, great. And then the rest of the film happens.
This is interesting to me, people. Paul clearly does not care for this film. Okay, am I right?
It would be unfair to say The Conjuring 3 is bad. It's bland. It's really bland. And here's my question to you, Wayne. If you've got a successful haunted house franchise, which is what the first two are, very good haunted house films, why the fuck, if they have 4,000 cases that the Warrens have investigated, why the fuck do you go to the one which doesn't involve a haunted house?
There we are. Now I know what's going on here. Because here's what I think about the... Okay.
Go on, please.
First of all, I got to see this via streaming, via various VPN type situations that I have sorted out. And let me tell you that seeing this film in the daytime next to my open window with lots of sunlight streaming into the room while I'm drinking coffee helps the movie's position a lot. So,
because what do you mean? Because it didn't scare you at all?
Well,
that's a failure of the film.
No, not so much. I think, look, usually, remember, understand it's me, okay? Usually, I'm sitting in a cinema next to Paul, who's gloating and smiling like a wolf, right? And I'm just pissed off.
Damn!
That's right. But I know I have to watch a horror movie, and I'm pissed off that my life turned out like this. So it's like, I don't...
Vindication! Exactly.
And I know I'm there for the 2 hours or whatever, so I don't want to get too Kevin Costner on you, but there's no way out. And I hate horror movies, as you know. So the fact that I have to see them, like, that I can see this one like this actually puts me in a better mood. It gives the movie a lot of chances, let me tell you. All right? It does, okay? I agree with you that the opening was good, all right? And I didn't think this way because I'm not a horror guy, but you were expecting a horror haunted house movie, like you said. Or at least you might.
Something like the first two. Something A, scary.
This movie is them doing an investigation around the country.
It's another fucking police procedural.
It is a police procedural.
If I wanted to watch a fucking police procedural, I'd go back and see Spiral again.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Because the Spiral one I liked because it was police procedural. This one was a little that way too. When I left, I was like, all right, the good things with the opening scene, some of the ideas in it were kind of cool, I guess. I can tell
I my hat off to the cinematographer.
Yes, the cinematographer was very good.
There was a couple of really nice shots. I'm just trying to find who it was who did lens this one.
It was
Michael Burgess. And
nice.
There's a couple of scenes, transitional scenes in particular. There's a wonderful boom shot where it goes from day into night in the one camera crane down boom.
Yes.
That was the best shot of the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, I remember that. That was good. I actually noticed how it was filmed. And there's bits, I'll just say it's the cliff bit that was very good.
Yeah, we always don't spoil. This is your first time on the show. Welcome. It's great to have you here. But we don't spoil anything till we get to the button that tells you that we're going to spoil everything.
That's right. So I will tell you that my biggest issue was that it became a little drawn out towards the end.
It was boring as fuck.
That's the issue that I had with it.
I was nodding off.
You were nodding
towards
off?
The end. I'm like, this is so unfrightening. It's nice and warm in here. Maybe I'll just have a nap. I mean, I didn't decide to do that, but clearly part of me did. And I'm like, oh, shit, I missed like 3 or 4 minutes there.
No, it's not.
I missed nothing.
It becomes not engaging, shall we say. And that was the issue that I had with it. But as a rule, now again, I don't even want to, like, the lens of me not liking this film, but saying, okay, well, this is not a patch on the first two. Right?
Oh, God, no.
In terms of what it was trying to achieve. I think, ironically, I liked it because it didn't scare me that much, which I know is not the point.
Well, it misses the point. A horror film is meant to scare you. Exactly. It's meant to unsettle you. It's meant to make you feel uncomfortable, right?
Exactly.
It fails to do that. It's like a comedy that doesn't make you laugh.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you may hate comedies or whatever, but if you are, then are you alive? But then it's... Yeah,
well, you might not appreciate... But if a comedy makes you laugh, it succeeded. You might not like the film, but at least it hits the mark that it needs to hit.
Yeah. I would say the difference is that everyone likes to laugh, but not everyone likes to be scared.
True.
So,
that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I mean, at least... No, I don't think everyone likes to laugh.
Everyone.
Way more people like to laugh.
Everyone,
than
bro.
Be scared.
Everyone likes to be laughed. I'm telling you. Ask me something like, you find somebody funny? Oh, you don't like finding shit funny? No, of course you like laughing. Anyway, that's another story.
Angela from The Office doesn't like to laugh.
Who's is that? Oh, that chick?
Yeah, the blonde woman.
I bet you she does. She just can't because she's fucked. Anyway. All right. So, so that's my take on it. Like, I was really interested to see if you, because I've read other reviews online, and anyone who likes horror is like, fuck this shit.
Yep.
All right?
Well, I didn't read a single review before I wrote mine. Very short that it is on Letterboxd.
Mm.
Very disappointing. I would say, if you're a fan of this franchise, even some of the, I mean, it's not the worst. It's still a far better film than The Nun, because at least it makes fucking narrative sense.
Okay. Yes.
The Nun was absolute shit.
Mm-hmm.
The Curse of La Llorona has the most tepid connection to the Conjuring universe. It's also shit.
Don't like that. Anything without the Warrens.
The first Annabelle film is god awful, right?
Is
the origins
really,
of that, or not even the origins. The one after that is Annabelle Origins. I think that one wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
I don't mind the one where they're in the house with all the stuff and the little girl and the babysitter, which is there's a very brief cameo of the Warrens in it.
Yeah,
that one's okay as well. This one's worse than that, as far as I'm concerned. This is like the third worst, maybe the fourth worst in the franchise for me. I don't recommend seeing it. Don't bother. This doesn't deserve your hard-earned at the cinema. If you can stream it in the North Americas, sure, maybe you're going to do that because you're already paying for HBO Plus or whatever it's called, HBO Max. But otherwise, just it's shit.
Yeah.
It's really, really disappointing.
This is odd. I liked it more than you liked it, definitely. And it was, but only, again, you say that with this like massive pinch of salt, I'll never watch it again and I don't recommend it to anyone. So.
I would never watch this movie again either. Really, there's not much more to say. It's not frightening. It's too long. It really draws out the goodwill. It even manages to make the Warrens boring. Like, I got sick of seeing them together. And normally, they're such a charming, engaging couple.
That's actually true. I actually thought that the flashbacks of them, you know, showing the warmth of their relationship were pleasant to watch, at least. And that's, you know, again, I'm just looking to enjoy these movies. So then I'm like, okay, fine with that. I think that's what happened. The very reason I do like it is the very reason it's bad. It's not that scary.
Yep. All right. There you go. That's our non-spoiler take. Let's get into it on the other side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth.
Thank you, Jack. And apparently, there isn't much truth in this film.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it was based on a true story.
Yeah. Paul. And the only true part of the story is the boy claimed to be possessed went through a series of exorcisms which the Warrens organized and attended. Arnie, the brother-in-law to be, did apparently confront the demon at some point and said, come into me, come into me.
Mm-hmm.
Arnie then ended up murdering his wife to be's landlord, as per the film, yep. Stabbed him to death.
Yep.
And they did try to plead demonic possession as the defense, which the judge immediately said, get fucked.
Really?
Yep. That is it. They are the only true bits of this film.
Okay. That, I will say to you, the I am intrigued by the idea that this might have been the first or among the first things where we plead demonic and it went just shut down.
Yep.
But in the movie, it's played like we said he was possessed and the judge looks around and he does, he's perplexed, but he's not going fuck off.
That was probably right? The only funny bit of the entire film was when, so they're meeting with the lawyer and yeah. She's like, you're going to have to convince me before I'll take this before a judge and a jury as to whether or not, would you like to come around for dinner?
Yeah.
Cut to her shaking in the courtroom. Yeah,
next scene. That was actually good because I was sitting there going, I wonder if they'll do the scene where it's like, look at fucking Annabelle and look at fucking this and look at,
ironically,
didn't do that.
That might have been a scarier scene than anything else in this film had we actually seen what scared her so much to go into court.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they passed that up because I was going, well, what are they going to do here? Yeah. And the truth is, it'd actually be really hard to write because unless they actually possess her.
And it wouldn't have been anywhere as good as what you're imagining probably happened.
Yes, exactly. So it's actually a good
smart
move.
Decision.
Yeah, it's a good move. So I didn't mind, like, you know, okay, I'm sitting there going to myself because I was not perturbed by the fact that it became an investigation, all right? But I understand how if you're the horror guy, it's like, A House on Haunted Hill is not actually set in a house. You know what I mean? It's like it's The Conjuring,
what
and it's a different
thing.
I think what it is that when you get to the third in a franchise, you often even I don't know if it's the studio or if it's the writer, but obviously it's the heads of whoever, right? Try and make a difference. So look at like Terminator 3, the one where John Connor was a young guy or whatever, right?
Yeah,
like that was a comedy. That was a fucking comedy with Claire Danes or whatever was in it. Like it was like it was a joke. I actually loved it. Right? I know I'm the only one. Right?
Right.
So, but then again, I think there's very few people like me. I think you got your diehards and you got a, what did you say? You think you said you when you're writing someone like Joss Whedon or someone said this, like you've got to give them something they didn't know they wanted.
Mm.
All right? And I think that's what happens when you're doing you're going on the third movie and you're trying to write something slightly different. Maybe this is the thing you wanted that you didn't know you wanted and it's given to you in a obviously hopefully satisfying way. They failed.
Yeah.
Right?
We keep talking around this, which we can now speak to it directly. So it ends up becoming a Satanist who, for whatever reason, for reasons which are never revealed, mm-hmm. plants some kind of totem thing, which is what gets the kid possessed, which is what allows the demon into their house. But then through some convoluted bullshit shenanigans, Lorraine becomes aware of her and this Satanist becomes aware of her.
The Warrens, yeah.
And
then they go after the Warrens.
And then it's trying to make, well, I think this is my bias.
Yeah, yeah.
I just assumed the gaunt figure we were seeing was a man. It wasn't until very late before I realized, oh, that's a woman.
Oh, no, I thought it was a woman, but I saw that they were using like the guy who got possessed as the actor playing that woman just so that you could then make the connection that, oh.
Took me a while to realize, oh, it's actually a woman who's doing this. Okay.
No, I thought it was.
Interesting.
I always thought it was meant to be a woman, but like, why? This
well,
is something
dumb that, me then. I have my moment.
No, but that's just whatever. I mean, I wasn't looking that hard. What I didn't get was there's a moment where, okay, so they finally find there's this totem under the house and that's how the boy got possessed. But
yep.
Someone put it there. It turns out it's this old bitch who fucking whatever, right? Then later on, some shit happens to Patrick Wilson and then they find a totem in their house in a flower pot. Right? Who sent that? Because you said these came yesterday as flowers.
I presume the woman, the Satanist.
But so wait, the Satanist?
Hasn't she already been, wasn't she connected to the Warrens at that point?
But is she manifest? Can she go post something?
Well, yeah, she's not dead. She's not a ghost. She's a human.
Oh, I thought she was a ghost.
No, she's a human.
Oh, she was alive the whole time?
Oh, I feel better about thinking she was a man now.
There you go. Oh, so she's actually alive. That's how she can slit the dude's throat.
Yep.
And right. Because I was really wary of that weird-looking priest that Elizabeth Warren went to visit late at night, and you think, oh my God, you know.
Oh, John Noble.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? And I'm like, that guy looks creepy as fat fuck. Clearly they're doing that on purpose. Turns out he's actually a good guy, but he had a bad daughter. You know? And by the way, how did the priest have a daughter? Is that the idea?
Well, he got out of the church. They did say that after he investigated that cult.
Oh, so he fucked someone. But
well,
it's been a while
plus,
ago.
Plus, you know, priests never have children.
Well, it's just
I'll
a Catholic
let that one
priest.
Hang there for a while.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, that was to me a bit weird. So Oh, but hang on. When Elizabeth Warren is having those visions and she sees the girl and the girl looks at her.
Lorraine.
And she says, I'd hate for you guys to quit now or something. The evil woman says that to Lorraine through her vision, whatever. Mm. I was like, wait, hang on. So where does this woman live? Like she lives underground?
Well, seems like she lives right next to your dad's sort of underground rabbit warren.
So she's there and that altar of hers is actually...
I didn't realize it was her dad. That was when I fell asleep at that point. So.
I think that speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I those were the questions I had. I was like, I don't quite get this, but I also don't care enough to inquire further.
And again, maybe I missed it in that 3 or 4 minute window, but they never really established. I mean, she's going after power through her worship of Satan. Is that the deal? And so she brings a demon to this family for whatever reason.
That's the question I had. Yeah. So it's stipulated then in this movie that because of the curse, right, the demon or whoever is actually here from hell against his or her will,
yep.
Right? And in order to go back to hell, which it wants to do, it has to have
take a soul.
Right. So why didn't it just take her in the first place? Why is she trying to get like the kid's soul? Why did she do all that shit?
It's not very clear.
That's
at all.
The shit thing about this. It's not obvious or kind of interesting that this happened.
No, did she have a particular bent against that house or against the family that was moving in?
Yeah, why did she have a problem
with
it?
Why did she target them? Why not any of the other houses in the neighborhood or in the world?
But why do it at all? Why call the demon through to do something at all?
The implication here is it's power, right? It brings you...
So she's a witch?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Well, in that case, right, this is what really bugs me. Now that I know she's a human, mm-hmm. right, with perhaps occult abilities, but not the type where she can, like, you know, move shit with her mind, just she's a possessor, right? How is she now taking on Patrick Wilson and then blowing shit into his head and then he goes freaks out? It's like, what is that, a drug? Is it an enchanted something?
Yeah, it's obviously a spell of some kind.
Okay,
yeah.
So that being the case, you as a thin woman who knows a little bit about magic... Don't just take on a guy with a sledgehammer. It's weird, you know what I mean? I know she was charming him so that he didn't see him.
Well, yeah, he thought it was Lorraine.
He thought it was Lorraine. Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
And the film adds this, I don't know, it gives Ed a heart attack in the first scene.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the film he's laboring with this. Yes. With this, and I guess it's to make them more vulnerable.
Yes, that's what it was. Because when he's running after Lorraine in the forest, yep. you're like, this motherfucker is going to die on his own. Mm-hmm. They even give him a shot where he looks towards the head of the trees, you know what I mean?
Because ultimately he does die of a heart attack in real life.
Does he?
In 2006, yep.
Oh, but not as a result of this case.
No, there's no evidence that it came as a result of this particular case in 1981 or whatever it was set.
Mm. Yeah, I think Patrick Wilson needs to go do some better shit now.
I think this is his cash cow. This is where all the money comes in.
Oh, no,
in.
I know why he's doing it. But, well, the first two were good. The
first two were great. You know, again, want to be really, really clear that I'm a big horror film fan. I particularly love grey horror films. This is not that.
Mm.
For all the reasons we're talking about. Even the end, yeah, the demon comes and drags her away. It's just... And the power of love defeats her fucking spell. I'm like, oh my God.
That is what happened, isn't it? Because I thought it was just that Lorraine was able to penetrate her mind and show that
you knew her in there. Fuck off. You know?
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit. Now that I think about it, it's on the nose. But again, I was looking for a ray of sunshine.
And the reality is, knowing that Ed dies in 2006, I think Lorraine died not that long ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, really?
Or maybe she's even still alive. I'm not 100% sure. There's no threat. There's no. The scares or the tension has to come from what's happening to the bit characters around them or from the actual, oh, this is frightening because it's supernatural.
But you knew they survived.
Yeah,
so you knew.
You know that they're always going to survive.
See, I didn't know that or even think about it, but I get why you say
and
that.
Given that these are the only two front and center characters, okay, Arnie's, you know, being possessed in the prison and whatever else. He's the only person who maybe is in trouble. But given that I know that he served 5 years and married Debbie while he's inside, I know he doesn't die either. So...
The only thing that was remotely to me interesting about this is that they employed all their tests, read from the Bible, this, that, whatever. Oh, he's not possessed. But then they figure out that, hang on, the demon is now smarter or something. And they're trying to figure out why this is a different case. That was interesting to me. It gave it a thing. I know.
We bring in the side case. And the only bit I liked that side case of the one girl murdering the other girl and then you know, basically running over and falling into the lake
mm-hmm.
is the way that they convinced the cops. That was some fun scene.
Yes, that was excellent.
Or one in three chance.
Yes,
he drove straight past the place.
That's right.
That was cool.
That stuff was good. And her, like I said, the cliff scene, she stops at the edge and then this hand just reaches down and grabs her.
But then what? Who was the hand? Is that the demon? Like, it's not the girl. She was possessed. She wasn't evil.
Yeah, it was. So did you have a problem with that?
Yeah. Who's trying to drag her to her death?
The spirit of the demon, I guess.
Because at that point, they haven't done the connection with the Satanist. So she doesn't know they exist.
So does that mean that... Under that scene, the witch woman, who's the only person who's manifest who can actually manhandle you by grabbing your ankle, teleported there and pulled it
down. Well, that's my point. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It was a good scene, though, because I
think the implication probably is the girl, her ghost. But why? Is she still evil when she's died?
Because she's still possessed?
That makes no sense.
Because she didn't know who the Warrens were at that stage.
Why would you try and drag an innocent person who's hanging around the top of the cliff to their death?
Why did they make the girl jump off the cliff in the first place?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm saying, but I'm assuming the ghost hand that grabs her is the girl.
Yeah.
Not the witch. The girl. Oh. The girl who was possessed.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It can't be the witch because, as I just said, the witch doesn't know that they're investigating her at this point.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
So it's just there to be a scare.
Yeah, that's
it. It's dumb.
Absolutely. I mean, it did work on me, but then again, I'm a bitch. So,
arguing. Look, I got nothing else to say about this film. Incredibly disappointing. I thoroughly recommend if you're a horror film fan, you don't bother. Don't give it your money. I'm giving this a 37.
Holy shit. Well, I gave it a pass, 52.
I like the way you've been talking it up, defending it. This worked. Yeah, 52.
Oh, but 52.
I thought you were going to be like 65 or 70.
For a horror, 52 is huge.
Right. All right, there you are. So that's a heartened don't bother from the Countdown Movie.
Yeah, and don't go watch podcast. This.
Very, very disappointing. You can let us know if you found disappointing or indeed if you love the shit out of it and what the fuck are we talking about. And you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc, like and follow the show on Podbean where we host. The Facebook listener community links in the show notes to get involved in discussions with ourselves and some fans of the show. And finally, ccradio.com.au for not just us, some great Aussie podcasts,
Believe.
And Comic Confidential.
Comic Confidential, yes.
All right, that's it from us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck you, fuckball.
Michael Chavez. Catch you next time.